Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Lee. Social podcast.
Let's see if that'll work this time around. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. This is attempt two in the last a couple of minutes. The first one was rudely interrupted by the UPS driver delivering the packages that I ordered. How dare he bring me the shit that I spent money on? Oh, you know what? I should really open them up and see what's in them because I forgot that these are gifts. I am done with my holiday shopping. I am currently recording a little bit inebriated, and I was just going to leave these out, but I should probably put it away if it's going to be something a little bit secretive. I don't know what this is. Let's find out. I'm going to put this microphone down. You might hear me opening shit up. This is like one of those YouTube videos where they do product reviews, but give me 1 second. I apologize. I'm going to keep talking.
So you guys are going to hear me. I know what this sounds like. This isn't a gag. This isn't me being like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Listen to him doing all that Foley sound. Here's him walking up the stairs. Doop, doop, doop. It's nothing like that. It's just me grabbing this and using my equipment. So putting it down real quick. Let's see what this is. Let's see. Let's see. Ah, son of a bitch. I almost stabbed myself with the scissors. And I'm not even running. Let's see. Opening that up. Let's see what this is. Oh, yeah. I forgot about this product. I forgot about this gift. So let's put this away before anyone sees it. I did not all of my holiday shopping before December, but 95% of it was done before December 1st. And then the rest of it was done on December 1st. So I have nothing to worry about. No podcasting. No holiday shopping, literally no pressure on me to do anything right now. This is the last solo episode, in case I didn't mention it, for 2019. I am going to be taking a break from performing, from producing, from podcasting, from doing anything that requires me to be creative. I'm just going to go ahead and, oh, I hate that this packaging says exactly what this is, because I was going to leave it out in the open, but now I can't even do that much. So I'm going to have to put this somewhere and be creative about it. So you guys are hearing all this background noise. You're literally hearing me walk around trying to find a place to put this gift away so I can hide it. Who was this gift for? Ooh, I can't say because they might be listening. So I'm not going to say anything whatsoever. There you go. That gets put away in there. Closing that. Do not do anything with that. Be quiet, cat. Get out of my way. I'm sure none of this is interesting to you guys. So if you're still listening right now, thank you for that. I appreciate your patience with me, especially since I sound so, so very winded in the process. But I am not. I can assure you of that. So that is this gift. Throwing that trash away. If this is ASMR to you guys, well, then welcome to this product and stuff and such. I don't know how to do any of that. So there you go. There. Look at that. I am done. Now I can sit down and focus. So I did my headlining gig on Friday. If you came out to the Ice House, thank you so, so very much for coming out. I am always surprised by the fact that people come out to appreciate comedy, and I shouldn't be. I should know by now that everyone needs a break, whether you're supporting friends, family, or you're just trying to get out there because you are having a rough time. It's the end of the year, let me unwind, or it's the middle of the year, I'm stressed out. Whatever the reason is, everyone needs a laugh, and I'm just glad, thankful that you guys allowed me to be the one to make you laugh, especially since I was the headliner. So the last comic usually has that pressure on him. I actually didn't have any pressure on me this year because everything went right for that show. I'll break it down this way. It's Black Friday. Everyone is spending time with family, time at the malls, wasting money, whatever it is. People are fatigued. They either ate way too much food, which is what I did. I had to do 2 Thanksgivings, and I'm thankful for both. But God damn it, that was a lot of food. I was fucking just suffering the Friday, dealing with processing all that food. And it showed when I was on stage. I saw photos of myself, and I was like, I can see the turkey trying to get out of my body. So the point is, I felt really fucking bloated at my show.
I had a great time. The comics were great. The audience was great. I was surprised how many podcast listeners came out. And if I didn't say thank you or say hi to you personally, I had a lot on my plate. I was processing preparing for my performance, for putting the show together, making sure everything went down smoothly. Because even though I didn't host, I did put the lineup together and do all the promoting. And a lot of the whether or not the show succeeds really fell on my shoulders. And the audience was hot and ready to go before 15 minutes before the show started. So I literally had nothing to worry about the entire time. In fact, the club was so happy with me. They actually told me flat out, the guy that puts the allows me to put the show together comes up to me and says, you know what? I couldn't find anybody to do the show. Nobody wanted to do it. I was reaching out to different bookers, to comics to see who wanted to do it. And you were the only one who said yes to it, which explains why there wasn't a second show and why, I mean, they just were super happy. They would have been happy with 20 people. The room held 80. It was a smaller room, and I got about 60 in there. So they were happy. I was happy. You know, I took on that challenge without taking that on. I mentioned this on my buddy Aurelio's podcast, The Good, The Bad, The Funny. If you want to check it out on there, I break it down a little bit there. But essentially, there was no risk for me. The gamble is in terms of like, yes, they'll be upset with me if I don't book it. And there is sort of that mentality of just like in film, you know, if you have a box office failure of a show, it could prevent you from getting other gigs, or it'll make it harder. You have to rebuild that trust. And that could have potentially happened. But I know that ultimately it wouldn't have hurt me because of the conditions in which I would have been would have failed. It would have been a little bit out of my hands, but I did not. So it shows that I'm A, committed to doing comedy, B, committed to or capable of producing, booking, getting people out, and doing all the things that are necessary to be successful at it. So it was a challenge that I didn't even really consider a challenge. I was just like, okay, I'll do it. And I usually there's a little bit of a comedy high that I carry with me for days. And I didn't have that with me this time around because I don't want to say I'm jaded, but it's almost like I now accept the fact that whether this goes great or it just doesn't work out at all, that I made the effort. So how is this hurting me? I made the effort. Yeah, it'll sting a little bit if they don't laugh or if the audience was a no-show. But I've done so many of those that I know exactly what that feels like. It wouldn't have been a new feeling. It wouldn't have been the worst experience that I've had. It would have just been another experience. So there was nothing for me to lose in that moment. In fact, I made some money. So, you know, the fact that I was able to pay the comics and pay myself, I would say that's 100% a win. So I am thankful for that. Thankful for y'all coming out and laughing. The one thing I do have to work on is I need to have a little more faith in myself, because there was times where I stopped my own set so I can acknowledge the fact that someone was actually laughing at me. You know, there was people who were genuinely laughing, and I was like, "Whoa, are they? How high are you that you're laughing at that joke?" But no, I mean, I wrote the thing. Fucking give myself credit. God damn it, I deserved it, and I did. So. Yay me, yay you, thank y'all, moving on. That comedy high went away pretty quick. The next day, following morning, I was in a bit of a cranky mood. I did something that I'd never done before. Actually, that's not true. I might have done this at least once before, but this isn't a common occurrence. I'm a big stickler for customer service. I have managed customer service employees. I know what it's like to where things can go wrong and they will go wrong, but I also know where the fault lies on the customer or the employee or whatever. So I know all these things. I don't need a prerequisite too much, or preface it too much rather. But here I go. I go to Starbucks. I pre-order my drink, wait about 5 minutes before I head out. So I figured, all right, my drink and my sandwich might be done by the time I get there and ready to go. And then I get there and I'm waiting 25 minutes from the time I arrived. So I see people who didn't order online, who just showed up, who ordered their food and got it and left before I did. So that alone was annoying. I was so upset. And I went up to express my frustration. I'm like, is there any chance you guys can hurry it up? I was like, I've been waiting here for about 20 minutes. They're like, we'll be out real soon. We're working as fast as we can. And it wasn't that they weren't working fast. They were knocking shit out of the park. They just prioritized things in the wrong order. And people who were ordering there were getting prioritized over people who place your order online. I assume it's just 100% somebody's fault. But I hated that nobody would accept responsibility for it. And instead, they were blaming it on how busy they were. So I waited another 5 minutes, got my stuff, left. And then I get home and I'm parked in the truck in the driveway typing up a complaint to Starbucks. I go to their website and to file a complaint. Now, this is where I felt bad because I go to the Starbucks all the time. And by all the time, I mean at least 5 days a week I am there. Ordering, picking up, they're very chatty, chummy with me, and I'm there, and they're polite, and I like them. But this one time, I was upset, and I didn't have a proper outlet, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to say this thing. And they gave me a credit for $12, which is an odd number, but whatever. And I felt bad when they gave me that credit. I was like, that's not what I wanted. I just wanted to express myself so that way, next time they're helping other people, and including myself, that they'll not do that thing where they incorrectly prioritize customers based off of who orders from what. And that was that. And I felt kind of bad about it. So I've been leaving bigger tips so that way I can give them back the $12 they gave me, because I genuinely felt like, who the fuck am I? Yeah, oh, I know. Oh, you headlined the night before. Now you're the big shit. Who the fuck are you? So I really put myself in check and reprimanded myself for doing that. But while I was doing that, this drunk guy comes up to me and I got it. Okay, so the best way I can describe this guy is real scrawny. You could definitely see what his jaw, I mean, you could see what his skeleton looks like underneath, like that kind of like frail, older, sort of like a Tommy Chong, Cheech Marin kind of look to him, but super drunk. He had a Coors Light can in his hand, and he was just kind of stumbling towards me, and he was going... Now, I don't normally do impersonations, but this one was really sort of a funny one because he came up to me to try to buy my truck. He's like, hey, what up? Hey, what up? And so I finally looked at him and I was like, yeah? And he goes, hey, how much do you want for your truck? And I was like, what? Now, my truck is really shitty. My truck is... It's a 2000 Chevy S10. It is falling apart. The paint is really shitty. There's dents and dinks from over the years. It makes the truck look like I've taken no care of it at all. Now, I've taken care of the functionality of the truck, but it is, you know, a salvage vehicle now after that break-in, so I don't have a speaker in there. I had to pay to get the vents in, a new differential. I'm going to have to do work in the next month or so that will cost so much that it doesn't make sense to repair the truck. So as soon as it goes out, when it's done, it's done. I'm going to ride it till it falls apart and then be done with it. So I'm not trying to spend too much money on repairing it. So when this guy offered me money for it, I got to say, I was a little curious. I didn't think he could pull it off because the guy looked like if he didn't live out on the street, he spent most of his time out on the street. You know, that kind of disconnected, sort of lose certain social cues, and you become just a hair of craziness, you know, just a skosh, you know, of insanity, or just sort of lose certain social cues or skills. And he's just like, hey, how much do you want for it? This truck's not, it's no good. You're not going to get much money for it. I'll buy it from you right now. You're going to get rid of this thing. I know you are. And I said, I don't know, man, $500, you know, which is honestly, I think I'm asking for too much for the truck. But he's like, you know what? I hear. And he tries to give me his beer can. Now, I know what he was trying to do. He was holding the can with one hand, using the other hand to reach into his pocket. I don't know what he was pulling out or trying to pull out. I knew he didn't have a weapon on him because his pants were too skinny and you could really see what was going on in those pockets. But he reaches in, can't find anything. Then he tries to hand me his beer can because he couldn't process that he could just switch hands, put the beer in the right hand, from the right hand to the left hand, and then reach in that way. So he didn't get that. And I was like, dude, just, I'm like, I'm not going to hold your drink for you. I didn't want to put my prints on it either because I was like, this guy might have just committed a murder. He might need my truck to get away. And now my prints are on the can. So now I'm his accomplice, you know? So I was like, I'm not going to fuck with that. So I was like, no, I'm good, man. So he's like, all right. And he puts the beer can on the floor. Then he reaches into his other pocket and just starts bringing out like a child wads of like crumpled up, balled up, bills, smaller denominations mostly, but a couple of big ones in there. Then he starts kind of going through and he's counting it in front of me and he goes, I'll give you, he puts some of it away. He's like, I'll give you $200 for it. I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to sell you my truck for $200. I was like, no, man, I'm good. So he's like, all right. He starts walking away. He keeps talking to himself. I get out of the truck. And then I start walking away and I keep getting this feeling like this dude's going to come back and stab me. He doesn't. But I keep getting this feeling for it. But and then one of the last things he goes, I'll see you around. I'm gonna try again in a week. And essentially, and he just kind of kept talking to himself. So I don't even know if he was actually talking to me, but he was pretty fucking out of it. That exchange and the Starbucks thing completely wiped away any of the whatever I had left in my body from the Friday night show. So I like when people were texting me throughout the day, being like, "Hey man, congrats! How was the show?" I kept responding back with like, what show? What are you talking about? You know, so because I wasn't being like sarcastic. I just couldn't recall because that awkward exchange was just so like it was weird. Like I felt like if I wasn't part of a skit that the guy was planning some kind of like getaway or something, or like I'm gonna have to, a part of me wanted to examine the guy so I can be like, officer, he had a mole on his right cheek and I could tell that it was cancerous because it wasn't growing a hair and it had this weird texture to it. It was very concerning, sir. You know, I figured I would do something along those lines when it came to describing the guy. But no, he was just a drunk trying to get it. I was also thinking to myself, I wouldn't sell my truck to him anyway, even if I needed the money, because he is clearly not in a condition to drive right now. These brakes aren't the best. And I know that he's gonna get arrested for hitting somebody with the vehicle. And I just could not allow myself to do that, mostly because the license plate does have a frame around it that says Awkwardly Social on it. And I don't want to be associated with that fucking tragedy, you know? Just saying, just putting it out there. You guys, I am done with my holiday shopping. So y'all can hate on me all you want. I fucking made a solid effort pretty early on to make sure I don't fucking ruin things and not give the nieces and nephews gifts this year. So if y'all are listening, I'm not going to tell you what you're getting, but yes, you're getting something. Santa doesn't exist. It was me. The money that was spent came out of these pockets. So if you're giving credit to a fat man, give it to this one. Give it to your uncle. Your fat ass uncle, I got you those gifts, goddammit. I'm not trying to be hard on myself. I really legit and fucking put on the weight. In fact, I'm seeing some family this weekend, and I know the first thing that's going to come out of them is, God damn, you got fat. And they wouldn't be wrong. So, like I said, I'm being so lazy. I'm being the kind of lazy right now where I'm waiting for a phone call from somebody being like, dude, are you okay? It's like, dude, I didn't allow myself to be comfortable or happy for a long time. Allow me to spend this month to just be relaxed. I mean, I still have to be a responsible adult, obviously. But, I mean, like, it's, you know, rent's paid. Bills are scheduled. Very little work has to happen out of me for the next month. And the senioritis thing that's happening where it's like, next year I'm not going to be new year, new me. But essentially what I'm saying is, like, everything can wait till 2020 at this point. In fact, this equipment is going away. This is the last episode that I'm recording with this equipment. So by next year, hopefully, you'll have a better sounding show with more guests and you guys will have fun with it. This equipment's great, but whenever I have more than one guest, I have to set up a different setup with a mixer. It reduces the quality of the sound and it just ends up hurting the show. So I decided, I was about to give credit to Santa again. You know, like it's time for new equipment, something that'll allow me to be able to have on more than one guest at a time without having to introduce a new audio element that'll reduce the quality because y'all deserve the best. So this equipment's being sold and then additional money will be put in there to get some new equipment. And so January is going to be really dope. From now on, you guys are going to hear a lot about upcoming shows. You're going to be so fucking annoyed by it, but it's going to be good quality sounds, and that is what matters. Gosh, I really should have put on a shirt right now. I'm in my pajamas right now, not wearing a t-shirt. And if I sound a little frazzled at the beginning of the episode, it's because I was starting to record and then the doorbell rings, which is like, I rarely hear anybody use that doorbell except for when someone's delivering. And it startled me because I wasn't expecting anything for today. So the doorbell rings, I have to throw on a shirt, pulled my pants up. My pants were like down around the ankles. I wasn't doing anything inappropriate, you perverts. But I was, you know, very relaxed. You know what it's like. You unbutton, you let your gut breathe. You melt. I kind of looked like somebody took a canister of the Pillsbury dough from the muffins and just like popped the canister and then just let it all just like relax. That's what I felt like when that doorbell rang. And so I had to collect myself. And all I can say is I'm glad that I have that policy of never be naked, which is a good rule of thumb for living in California. If you're thinking of moving to California, we have earthquakes. You don't want to be caught sleeping, you know, or anything like that naked, unless you're like super comfortable with that. Like if you have like a robe, like that robe that you can throw on over you, the kind of like nightgown where, you know, the doorbell rings and the cop's telling a wife, be like, "We're sorry, ma'am, we found your husband's body," you know, and then she's like, "Oh no," and she clenches herself, she clutches onto herself, while at the same time, you know, that she had something to do with his death, like that kind of thing. I wish I had that. So that way, if I, you know, the doorbell rings or if there's an earthquake, I could just throw that on and get out, but I don't have that. So I have to sleep in my pajamas. When I was a kid, I've been here for several earthquakes. The 94 earthquake really like freaked me out. I was one of the aftershocks that happened was pretty hard, and I was taking a bath and I ran out of the bathroom naked and my sisters laughed at me and I was like, no, never again. So I would bathe with underwear on, and then when I would be done, I would just like give myself like a second of breath between removing the wet ass underwear and putting on the new underwear and just like being like, ha, y'all aren't gonna get me this time. And I carry that with me as an adult, so I just can't be naked. I might be able to Winnie the Pooh it, where like I, you know, walking around with just a t-shirt and nothing on below the belt. But you know, there's always towels and shit I can grab around me. I legitimately don't know why I'm more bothered by people seeing the upper half of me versus the bottom half, but there you have it. That is where my concerns lie. So you clearly, I fucking need to work on that just a little bit. Yeah, that when that UPS guy showed up, it really kind of threw me off and confused me and made me forget what I was going to be talking about. You know what? I don't want to make this episode too long, but I do want to say y'all have fucking... I want you guys to have a great rest of the year. You know, if you haven't had a great one up until now, or if the fucking unfortunate parts of life are happening in this exact moment, I apologize for all of that. Apologies isn't exactly the right word to be using right now, but honestly, it's... What can I offer other than my apologies, condolences, and love? You know, the external stuff. That's the best I could do for some of you. I don't know a lot of you very well, so I can't do more than that. But if you all need help, honestly, I'm done with my holiday shopping. But if y'all want to be helpful and help others out, or you yourself need help, you know, reach out. I may not be able to do everything for you guys, but if there's anything I could do, I'll try my best, you know? And there's a lot of great programs out there. If you guys are feeling charitable right now, if you're in a position where you could do more, reach out to some nonprofits. There's a great one that I volunteer or I donate to, depending on my availability. They're called Friends and Helpers, friendsandhelpers.org. This isn't an ad, you guys. This is legit. These are the people who I met them. Obviously, I'm a big fan of the Kevin and Bean show. I went and would volunteer a couple of times for this, and I got a chance to meet Melissa and even Kevin Ryder from the Kevin and Bean Show. And I haven't been out in a couple of years to actually volunteer. So I would just try to donate, you know, when I could. You either get like a stocking, you know, kind of thing, or you could you donate to a family. You can pick a family and donate to them. They have different things. They don't take the money for the overhead. It all goes towards these people. And a lot of times it's women who are fleeing from their husbands or boyfriends or whomever, and they have to leave in the middle of the night and take their kids, and they don't have the essentials. They don't have toothbrushes. They don't have underwear, toothpaste. They don't have the things that you wouldn't even think about. Socks, you know, school supplies, a pillow, fucking a lot of these kinds of things that they need. And you're always surprised to see what they ask for. You can donate money. You can go and buy the stuff yourself, you know, and then drop it off, however you want to do it. But, you know, if you can, do. That's really what I'm trying to get at. And if you guys can't, reach out to me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com. Either myself or someone I know, we'll try to help out. We are there. I don't have a responsibility over any of you guys, just like you don't have no responsibility over me. This is a conversation I was having, I want to say even last night, about how we don't take responsibility for others. Sometimes we don't even take responsibilities for ourselves. This, oddly enough, came from just somebody who was, best way I could put it is, okay, I'll just fucking flat out say it. I just, like, I'm tired of telling McDonald's stories, but I was at McDonald's at the drive-thru, and, you know, when they have two lanes, it's just like getting on a freeway. You go one at a time, left lane, right lane, left lane, right lane. I was on the left lane, I let the person on the right go, and then when it was my turn, another person on the right lane took it, and the woman gave me the look like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this, it's my turn. I want to go now. And it was so, like, infuriating because, hey, she had kids with her. You know, it was like a little family. Even if I wanted to say something, I didn't want to scare those kids or cause more of a fuss because, truthfully, again, it's one of those non-issue issues where it's frustrating, but ultimately there's nothing I could really do about it. You know, anything I do would be considered excess. So I didn't want to do anything, but that did sort of get me to a point to where, like, I know of situations where someone gets injured in a moment like that. Say something were to happen to this woman or to that family. For a moment, a lot of people would be like, she had it coming. Did she though? You know, she was annoying, she was obnoxious, but she didn't have that shit coming. And then how quickly we kind of get to that point, how quickly we are to do that to somebody, you know? And then if that happens to us, if we have one bad day, one bad response, if I have an attitude towards you, any kind of like, I'm not in a good fucking mood right now. Do I deserve to be punished just because I wasn't in a good mood in that one moment, where I had some, like, a human response to something? I don't think so, you know? And so I felt a little bad about that. But then I was thinking to myself, I don't know what her struggle was. You know, she could be 100% dealing with something or not. I mean, I think I might be over-assuming her situation, but I can't under-assume it. So I let it go. I was annoyed, for sure frustrated, but, I there wasn't much else that could be said or done in that moment. Now, that... Now, in turn, now what I consider the other side of this is she didn't care about me in that moment. She didn't care about me in that moment. She had no interest in right of way and common courtesy and civility, you know, that kind of stuff. And so she was rude to me. Now, if something were to happen to her, you know, like she doesn't care about me in that moment. If something were to happen to her, now she would expect me to care for her. And there's a double standard in that. One, yes, I'm not required to care for her more than she cared for me, but more than likely I'm still going to do something anyway because I shouldn't have to dictate my responsibilities as a person, as a human who cares, based off of how other people respond. Two, I would hope that if there was an actual situation there, that she would consider doing something right for me. And again, even if she doesn't, I still would do it. Because that's what you do. You don't have to. Somebody doesn't have to be nice to you for you to be nice to them. I'm not saying you gotta fucking bend over backwards for them or anything like that. But, you know, I think that we need to be more compassionate with those who aren't with us. I think that's how a lot of shitty things started happening. And lately, it's that everybody is being very much like, I need to take care of me and my own. And if that means someone else has less, so I could have more, so be it. It doesn't really have to work that way at all. And you know, I'm not trying to get political here because this isn't even a political thing. This is a morality thing, you know, and that frustrates me so very much that people think that way. I was thinking about these things when that happened, and the thoughts just snowballed in my head. It wasn't like anything drastic happened in that moment that would really warrant that kind of thought, or that kind of deep thought anyway. But it happened, and I was like, you know what? I want to make sure I put this out there on the podcast so people can listen, because sometimes my nieces and nephews listen, and I've been trying to give advice, but a little too much advice, maybe. I don't know. My oldest niece went to my show on Friday, and she took a blind date. Now, this guy apparently he hit her up on Instagram, which is, I understand the irony of this because I was just so bothered by that. I was like, oh, who the fuck are you doing this? You know, it's like, he was, I guess, creeping her out or hitting on her, and she had no interest, but she decided to give him a chance anyway. Well, she calls me being so fucking responsible and saying, like, I don't want to be near this guy by myself. I want to build the trust first, but I would feel safer if you were there. So she took him to my show. She, you know, I even ended up giving her a ride back to her car to make sure that she wasn't alone with this guy at any point in time. And you bet your ass I called him out while he was there. I acknowledged the fact that they were in the audience together, and I intimidated him from the stage. And that was a lot of fun because I'm not, as a person who doesn't have any kids, I think I'm a little more protective of, you know, my nieces and nephews as much as I was about my sisters growing up. But I took the time to acknowledge the guy and call him out and just make him feel uncomfortable, have him squirm a little bit. And I got a little too preachy at the end after he was gone and I was giving my niece a ride home. I was like, I got to cut that shit out a little bit. I got to stop being so not judgmental, because I wasn't being judgmental, but I was definitely trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like if I was trying to be a fucking guru and didn't want to, and, you know, and was trying to just dump out all the wisdom that I've accrued over the lifetime or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I got to cut that shit back. I got to just have the ability to just socialize normally from here on. I should probably mention that to my therapist next time I see her. Whatever. Anywhoozle, the point is, I made fun of this guy, and I had fun at that. And I know, for those of you who are listening, I'm aware of the fact that I say the point is a lot. I am working on that. It's come to my attention recently that I have certain catchphrases that when I start saying them, I stick with them. Partly because it's filler for dead space, or because of the fact that it's just a natural response, an impulse. And some of it even comes from the fact that I tried to be so clean around my family, the young ones, that now I say I have certain catchphrases. And that was just a reconditioning thing. And it's like when you learn a new word, and you use it all the time. You probably use it wrong a few times, but you keep using it. Eventually, you get it right. That's kind of what it felt like when I was told of or listed the things that I say in repetition. So I will work on that. And next year, you'll hear less of that, hopefully, if you're still sticking around for next year. Take it easy. You know, do what you got to do this for the rest of the year. But give yourself a break for a lot of things. There really is no weight, no pressure on you that is 100% necessary. A lot of it's internal. There really is no, there's nothing that you have to do. And I know where I was talking about the whole morality thing. I think that's probably like an exception where, yes, you do have to be kind. you know, you can't always be on your best behavior, but you can at least try to be kind to somebody, especially if they don't deserve you to be so rude or unkind to them. I don't know. What I'm getting at is, you know, the pressure you're putting on yourself half the time probably doesn't need to be there. So cut yourself some slack. I want y'all to be kinder and more loving toward yourselves. That's all I was trying to get at. You know, I think that's it for this episode. It's, oh shit, I've been doing it for half an hour. I was like, oh, it'll be a quick 15 minutes. But no, that was a decent one. Let's wrap it up there. Again, no shows to promote because I am not doing anything specific for the rest of the year. If something comes up, I may throw it out there, but I'm not really trying to commit to anything right now. Awkwardlysocialcomedy.com for past episodes. Do me a favor. Rate, subscribe, feedback, positive feedback, ideally, on the podcast platforms. Tell your friends about me. Put it out there. If there's a guest you want me to bring back that you heard on a previous episode, someone you want to recommend, something along those lines, podcasts that you think I should check out, send those my way. I have a lot of friends who have podcasts. Actually, while I'm here, let me promote one. Murder on Tap. This fucking adorable-ass couple that I'm enjoying so much. They have this... It's the best way I can put it is it's a married couple. They talk about murder and review beers, different beers. That's why it's called Murder on Tap. I actually recommended it to my sister to check out. Oh my God, who the fuck left them a negative review? Who the fuck did they go? Do me a favor. Go on to the iTunes, Apple Podcast rather. Go on and leave them a positive review because they deserve some love. They are called Murder on Tap. It's Ali and Jose. Who the fuck gave them a negative review? Who is this? Oh my God. Who the fuck? No. This is these are just sweethearts that are out there doing their thing. Okay, yeah. Anyhow, I am Jose Chavez on all the social medias, all that jazz. Take it easy, y'all. Have a good one. Keep life awkward. Have a great 2020. Talk soon.